As I say, I'm happy to be here in St. Mary Church. I'm happy to be able to offer the Mass here, and also happy to be able to celebrate this feast day with you. I know many people are not that aware of the feast days of the different apostles and evangelists, but today is a feast day that always takes place in the Easter season. So it's a joyful feast. It's the feast of St. Mark the Evangelist, the author of the second gospel, or second in line, although many scholars think it was actually the first of the gospels to be written. So let's take a little time to reflect on Mark and his mission. Mark doesn't say very much about himself, if anything, but there are many mentions of Mark in the New Testament. Other New Testament authors tell us a lot. St. Luke, for example, in the Acts of the Apostles, tells us that Mark's mother was named Mary, and that it was to her house that Peter went after he was miraculously freed from prison. Remember, Herod had him thrown in prison, and in the middle of the night, the angel led him out, and Peter finally realized what was going on. He went to Mary's house, Mary, the mother of Mark. Maybe that was one of the Marys who was at the cross. We don't really know. Luke also tells us in the Acts of the Apostles that Mark traveled in the missionary journeys of Paul and Barnabas. St. Paul mentions him in several of his letters, and he adds that Mark was the cousin of Barnabas, so they're related. And then St. Peter also mentions Mark in his first letter. In fact, we heard that as our first reading. In this reading, he refers to Mark as his son, Mark my son. And that has led some people to guess that perhaps Peter was the one who baptized Mark. So Peter's the first pope. Maybe Mark was baptized by the first pope. We don't know. Mark was certainly in Rome with Peter, and he was certainly in Rome with Paul. Both of them mention it. So we're talking about a man who has high credentials. The tradition says that Mark's written gospel is based on Peter's preaching, kind of a written version of what Peter would be preaching. But we can also be sure that traveling around with Paul, the great missionary, would certainly have influenced Mark and what Mark actually wrote down. The traditional symbol of Mark, you might know, is the lion, sometimes a winged lion. And one reason for this might be that his gospel begins in the wilderness with the preaching of John the Baptist. Now, there are some people who think that the only mention that Mark makes of himself is the strange account of a young man who was present when Jesus was arrested in the garden. In that account, the soldiers tried to seize that young man also, but he was wearing nothing but a linen cloth, and when they grabbed him, he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. It's only found in Mark's gospel. He's the only evangelist to include that vivid detail, so people say, well, maybe he's the only one who knew it happened, so he wrote it down in his own gospel. Maybe that was him. Again, we're not sure. On the other hand, because we're not talking simply about somebody's personal recollections, we're talking about the inspired word of God, we can also ponder this little story of the young man who ran off naked as an image of ourselves, as an image of what happens to us when we shy away from suffering, when we flee from Jesus out of fear, or when we reject the cross in our lives. When we do that, what do we have? What do we have left? Nothing. We run off naked, poor, helpless, afraid. Maybe it's to remind us of what happened to Adam and Eve when they were in a garden and they sinned. They discovered or realized they were naked. They didn't have grace. Isn't this a good description of the spiritual condition of a person without Jesus Christ? A great description of a world without Christ. Naked, helpless, poor, Well, Mark's story doesn't end there, of course. I mean, he ran off if that was him. And our story doesn't end there either. Jesus doesn't hold any sin against any sinner, and not much after that account of the Passion, we find Mark not only a repentant sinner, but a fervent convert and a companion of Paul and Barnabas, and a zealous missionary. And the author of a work of literature that has had extraordinary influence on the world ever since. He wrote a gospel. That in itself is extraordinary. Even if we knew nothing else about Mark, he wrote a gospel. He's one of the only four men whom the Holy Spirit inspired to write a gospel. Great gift of the gospel, the power of the word of God. It's the shortest of the four gospels, Mark. And it seems that Mark was in a hurry to get to the point. He doesn't introduce himself. He doesn't have any genealogy. He doesn't have any prologue. No mention of Jesus' childhood or infancy or anything like that. He doesn't introduce himself. He doesn't say, "I am Mark, son of Mary from Jerusalem." He jumps right in and he says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." That's the very first line. Bang. First chapter, first verse. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if it's true that his gospel is the first one, he's the first writer to even use that word, gospel, to describe in writing what we call the gospels. Well, tonight's readings, which are chosen especially for this Feast of St. Mark, are from the conclusion of St. Peter's first letter, where Peter mentions, "Mark, my son," and from the conclusion of Mark's own gospel, where Jesus gives his final instructions and then ascends to the Father. So let's start with this gospel. I'll get a few ideas from each of these readings. In this gospel, Jesus says, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. And this command is given not only to the 11 who happened to be with him then, but to every baptized Christian. Mark, yes, he's an evangelist in a special sense because he wrote a gospel, but all of us are called to be evangelists. All of us are called together and with the whole church to go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. It's the mission of the church, right? No one can go into the whole world by himself, but the church as a whole is sent into the whole world. Each of us has a little part to play in that missionary or evangelistic mission. Now, we might have some objection to this massive assignment, and we might ask, well, if Jesus really wants to reach everyone, why doesn't he just do it himself? Why send the apostles? Why send anybody? Why send Mark? Why send me? Why send you? This is the kind of question we ask. We're obviously not qualified. And the answer is, Jesus does do it himself. He does proclaim the gospel to every creature, but he does it, he has chosen to do it through the church, through his body on earth. He doesn't send someone away and go do your work, go preach the gospel, go evangelize, do this on your own. No, he's always at work in and through the church. That is, through us, the church. Now, we can look to the first reading to get some valuable wisdom about how this will work, this new business of evangelization. St. Peter's first piece of advice in tonight's reading is, clothe yourselves with humility. In other words, don't be naked. Clothe yourselves, not just with a linen cloth, but with humility. Humility is the key to being exalted. Humble yourself to be exalted. Jesus said this several times, repeatedly, and he showed us how it works on the cross. He humbled himself to the point of dying on the cross, and he was exalted, and that's the path for everyone. So clothe yourselves in humility. Then St. Peter says, cast all your worries upon him because he cares for you. great wisdom. Cast all your worries upon him. In other words, don't worry. Don't worry. That's not the way of faith. Worry is not the way of an evangelist. Next, Peter gives a warning. He says, be sober and vigilant. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In this parish where the prayer to St. Michael is said after the Mass, this probably sounds familiar, this description of Satan as someone who prowls around seeking the ruin of souls. That's where it comes from. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So Peter says, don't worry, and then he says, we're fighting the devil who's like a roaring lion. And that raises the question, well, how can it be both ways? It seems like opposites. If we're not worried, that's because we don't face severe dangers. And if we're facing a lion, well, we worry. That's what it seems like, but that's wrong. That's mixing it up. Because it's precisely because we belong to Christ that we don't have to worry. It's not because we don't have any opponents. We don't worry because the winged lion is more powerful than the roaring lion. The winged lion is the gospel of Mark, but by extension, the whole Word of God, the power of the Word of God is more powerful than the power of the roaring lion, the devil. Remember when Jesus was facing the devil in the desert, the temptations, how did he defeat the devil? With using the Word of God. He quoted the Word of God to him and defeated the devil. Now, the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel, the spread of the gospel through our way of life, it will be opposed. It will be opposed by the devil, by the world, and even by our own fallen nature. You know the famous triad, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yes, it will be opposed. But in a sense, the gospels tell us, so what? So what? Don't be worried about that. If we're intimidated by the opposition, it only means we're too focused on ourselves. It means we're looking at our limitations, our inability, the impossibility, and that's not what we're supposed to be focused on. If we focus on that, we'll end up running away naked. Instead, we're supposed to put our focus on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. We put our trust in him, not in ourselves. God himself is the power behind every evangelist, of course. He's the power behind every good work. If little fearful Mark and Peter and Paul and Luke, if they could go out into a hostile pagan world to proclaim the gospel, well, can't we go out into our troubled world, into at least a small part of our troubled world, the part to which we are sent, and also make known the good news, the gospel? Yes, we can. God wants to save the world. Now, he doesn't want to condemn the world. He wants to save the world through the gospel, through evangelists, through humble, faithful, vigilant evangelists, through even us. And I think that's a lesson we can take home on this joyful Easter feast of St. Mark. If Jesus calls us to go out into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature, who are we to oppose him? Who are we to say, no, that's not a good idea? How can we claim that's not a reasonable demand? How can we say that it doesn't apply to us? No. He says, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel. We are all missionary disciples. We are all evangelists. We are all sent forth, not to do our own thing on our own power. That would only lead to running away naked. No, we're sent forth to do the work of God with the power of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the power of his word, so that our very lives, every thought, word, and deed will announce the gospel of Jesus Christ. St. Mark, pray for us.